And if I could start with just a thank you to Mark for all his help all the time. Just give God a thank offering for all the service in our church. So today we're going to talk about walking. So I just want to share some walking jokes. Okay, you ever heard these walking jokes? First one. What did the man say when he walked into the bar? Ouch! Walked into the bar. These are hard to find, I'm telling you. Okay, another one. What do you get if you walk behind a car? What do you get if you walk behind a car? Exhausted. Exhausted. You guys haven't grown up with real exhaust. I mean, when I was growing up, or some of you remember, those tailpipes would really emit some black stuff. Remember now, the rules here, if it's funny, you laugh. If it's not funny, you still laugh, okay? Okay, just two more. My grandpa started walking 5 miles a day when he was 60. Now he's 97 years old and we don't know where he is. I like that one. I don't know what about you. Okay, you know, they say before you criticize someone, walk a mile in his shoes. That way, when you do criticize him, you'll be a mile away and have his shoes. Today's message is called How to Walk Right. How to Walk Right. And actually, I made a mistake in the Bible in Four Seasons reading schedule. I usually preach on the Saturday's reading. And I got kind of carried away because I was like excited about this message. And I'm preaching on today's scripture. So please forgive me on that one. But I made many mistakes, and this is just one more. So this is just another one. But today's message is called How to Walk Right. If we ever slow down just long enough and get off life's freeway, you know, our schedules are so overbooked and stressed out. I think that we would see in each of us some cracks in the wall, some shakes in the foundations of our lives. For example, many people lack discipline in what we eat. Yeah, we don't have discipline in what we eat. While others lack discipline in how much we eat. Many people fear what other people think. And it keeps us from doing what we want to do. Or it keeps us from doing what is right to do. And many people are inept at communicating so that our work suffers, our relationships suffer, our marriages suffer. And if I could use walking as a metaphor for life, then we simply do not know how to walk right. We don't know how to walk right. You know, young people don't know how to walk right. A report from Medford, Oregon states, listen to this report from Medford, Oregon. Screaming at teachers, throwing objects ranging from musical instruments to chairs, and leaving class without permission but with loud outbursts are just a few of the behaviors parents and teachers say they and their students dealt with over the past school year. Kelly Taylor said her kindergartner daughter was first suspended in the past year for behavior issues after she returned from Christmas break. She threw objects in class and had outbursts that sparked evacuations. I did that once. Something needs to change with the school board, the district, said Taylor. It's ridiculous. District officials, meanwhile, said that schools across the nation are dealing with an increase in behavior problems. Now, I criticize the young people, but, you know, us older people also have our own problems. Forbes magazine relates nearly 70% of employees, that's us older guys, nearly 70% of employees are disengaged. That means we're not really functioning at the workplace. 70%. And CBS News states, a government study estimates that nearly 80% of adult Americans do not get the recommended amounts of exercise each week, potentially setting themselves up for years of health problems. So young people got problems. Adults got problems. We all got problems. It seems that none of us know how to walk right. I mean, we don't know how to respond to criticism. We don't know how to handle disappointment. We don't know how to deal with anger. And I'm just talking about myself. But if I'm speaking to someone else here today, if that's your heart also, then I believe that you have come to the right place. Because this morning, God is going to draw for us, you know, with his paint set or with his drawing tools. God is going to draw for us two pictures. Two pictures that may change the way we live and may teach us how to walk right. Anybody want to hear God's word today? Anybody want to hear? Amen. Would you hold your Bible if you have one and pray with me? Let's pray. Dear God, I am ready to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, open it to the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. And we'll start reading from verse 29. Is it faster to open a Bible book or is it faster to like... I don't know. I'm glad, you know, whatever you use, phone, a paper Bible, hardcover, softcover, if you have a Bible, I rejoice. I'm glad. Okay, let's read from Luke 4 and we'll read verses 29 and 30 right now. They got up, drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. Verse 30. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Some background to this story. You know, at our little church in Gabriel's Valley, San Gabriel Valley Alliance Church, we have just begun our journey towards Easter. Yeah. And Easter, guys, is the greatest day in history. I'm telling you, it's the greatest day in history. We're going to sing that song on Easter Sunday also. It's the greatest day in history when Jesus Christ, he was blasphemed, he was crucified, he was buried and left for dead. But he rose to life on Easter Sunday. And on this journey towards Easter that we're all undertaking, we are reading together this year from the Gospel of Luke as a church. Yeah. And if you're following the Bible in four seasons, you know, these Bible bookmarks. There's more of them in the lobby. If you're following this reading schedule, and I highly encourage it, because you don't want to rely on that funky pastor from Hawaii. You know, it's like that crazy guy. You got to rely on God, and this will help you. This will help you. But if you're following the Bible in Four Seasons reading schedule, today you will read from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. Not even the whole chapter. Yeah. But as you read Luke 4, 14 to 30, you will encounter this scene. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. Synagogue is like a Jewish church. And teaching in the synagogue was Jesus' custom, it says. And as also was his custom, Jesus spoke the truth. And as often happens when the truth is spoken, Jesus' audience was infuriated. And all these nice, law-abiding church people drive Jesus out of the town, take him to the top of a cliff, and try to throw him down. That's us, you guys. That's what we did, I think. And verse 30 tells the end of the story. You know, the next slide, I think we got it. But he, Jesus, walked right through the crowd and went on his way. If you have a pen or pencil and a Bible that you can write in, circle three words. He walked right. He walked right. Now, there are a lot of different English translations of the book of Luke, in fact, of the whole Bible. Because Luke was originally written in which language, guys? Greek. Yeah, someone said it over there. Luke was originally written in the Greek language, and few of us know that language, so what they do is some people who do know it translate it into English for us, or to Chinese or Japanese Zhongli, which is one of my wife's languages. But we have it in a lot of different English translations. But this morning, I want to encourage you to read from just one English translation. The New International Version translation, which came out around 1984. Why? Because this translation of Luke chapter 4, verse 30, perhaps accidentally, yet with uncanny insight, describes exactly how Jesus lived his life. That he walked right. He walked right. Over our remaining minutes today, Jesus, without saying a word, will show us two pictures about how he lived, and perhaps more importantly, two pictures about how you and I can live. The first picture is this. Walk through the crowd. Walk through the crowd. Reread with me Luke chapter 4, verse 30 again. Ready? This time, let's read it together. Ready? Go. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Now, underline the words through the crowd. to the crowd. You mean, remember now, this is Jesus, and this is a hostile crowd. It is hostile. They were not just angry, they were about to commit murder. But what did Jesus do? Jesus did not run from the crowd. Jesus did not swear at the crowd. I mean, since I've been in LA, I've seen several people do this in the car in front of me. Very interesting. But Jesus did not do that. He did not swear at the crowd. He did not give some kind of interesting finger pointing to the crowd. Jesus did not lose sleep over what the crowd was thinking. What did Jesus do? All Jesus did was walk through the crowd. Nothing complicated, nothing spectacular, but nevertheless, a game changer. You see, when you and I see a crowd, what's our tendency, guys? When we see a crowd, especially a hostile crowd, what's our tendency? Yeah, we run away. We run from it. And we have nothing to do with that crowd. Or if it's maybe a more friendly looking crowd or just a normal kind of crowd, our tendency may be to walk with the crowd and become like them. Guys, if you're sleeping now, wake up, okay? Because this is an important point. We either tend to walk with the crowd and become like them, or walk away from the crowd and have nothing to do with them. And why I want you to wake up, you can sleep after this, okay, if you get this point. And that is why Christianity is so weak. Because we have nothing to do with other non-Christians. We either walk with them and nobody even knows we're Christian. Or we stay away from them. I don't eat lunch with you guys. I'm going to stay here reading my Bible. And we have nothing to do with people. And so we become irrelevant to Western society. Barna Research inquires with these words, "When was the last time you had a conversation about God?" For most people, the unfortunate and surprising answer to that question is not very often. Spiritual conversations are exceedingly rare for most Americans, even for Christians, who are at best reluctant to have them. And according to a Lifeway research poll, asked how many times they have personally invited an unchurched person to attend church or some other program at church, nearly half of church attendees responded, zero.
Zero.
But Jesus was not a zero. Now you can sleep if you want. You can sleep. But Jesus is not a zero. You know what? Jesus wanted to save unchurched people. And so what did he do? Jesus walked through the crowd. He walked through the crowd. Oh, he didn't save everyone. He didn't appeal to every socioeconomic class. Jesus wasn't even liked by some people. But unless Jesus walked through the crowd, he would have had zero influence on others. Same is true with you and me. Will you be a person of influence? Will you get in the game? We don't wear hats these days, but in the old days, would you throw your hat in the ring? Would you walk through the crowd? Why? Because that's the only way to get to know people. That's the only way to build relationships. That's the only way you understand your community. That's the only way you serve their needs and earn their respect. When? When you and I walk through the crowd. You know, one time in Jesus' ministry, he was traveling. Those days they walk a lot. Yesterday we walked in Mount Baldy. We were tired, man. Somebody, who's been to Mount Baldy? Mount Baldy. Okay, man. Take me, but maybe in a couple years later. No, we had just walking up and down the hill. We had a lot of fun. But once Jesus was walking, and he was walking from Judea down south up to Galilee in the north. You know, that's pretty far. And the Bible records that story in John chapter 4. In fact, in John 4, verse 4, it says, let me go to that next slide. Now, he, Jesus, had to go through Samaria. Read this one again with me, guys. Ready? Go. Now, he had to go. Okay. You know, actually, Jesus did not have to go through Samaria. Did Jesus have to go? It says that. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Actually, he did not have to go through Samaria. You know why? Because Jesus is God. He can go anywhere he wants. Yet, Jesus wanted to go through Samaria. Why? Because there was someone in Samaria who needed God's forgiveness. So instead of going around Samaria, you know, because those Samaritan people were hated by the Jews, instead of going around Samaria, instead of going around Samaria by taking the longer road via a city called Perea, that actually many Pharisees, the Pharisees were the Jewish religious elite, many Pharisees would actually go around Samaria in proceeding to Galilee or Judea because they didn't like the Samaritans. But instead of doing that, Jesus went through Samaria. And because he did, he met the most unlikely of converts. A woman. A 5-time divorcee who was now living with a man who wasn't married to her. And perhaps worst of all, a Samaritan woman. Some of you know the rest of the story. Jesus sits down by this well. He's tired. But he has no container or pot or bucket to draw water from the well to drink. But then a woman approaches carrying a water jug. So Jesus asks her for some water. And so begins an amazing conversation, which leads to the woman confessing her life story, testifying to the whole town about Jesus. And then many of the Samaritans from her town becoming followers of Jesus Christ. Amazing story. But it tells you the power of walking through the crowd. You know, not walking away from the crowd, not walking and blending in with the crowd, walking through the crowd. Whether it's a crowd of thousands or a crowd of just one, walk through the crowd and you will have an eternal impact on other people. Frank Fredericks writes the following story. My city, neighborhood, and block are filled with people who don't know me, don't care to know me, don't look like me, don't talk like me, don't smell like me, don't think like me, and have no desire to change that fact. This is true to the extent that I haven't yet caught the names of the couple who are subletting the apartment next to ours. I don't know their names. In short, I literally don't even know my next door neighbors. I find that it's pretty hard to love people you don't even know. And sometimes we all, myself included, he writes, use that as an excuse to not even try. One day, he continues the story, one day Brendan, a young but rising DJ, was coming home to his apartment when a homeless woman asked him for money. He said honestly that he had no money. By the end of the week, she asked two more times, and each time he answered no. Finally, she frankly replied, "You better not, because every day you say no." Inserting some rational thinking into an otherwise awkward conversation, Brendan proposed, "I am on my way to a job interview. If I get the job, I will take you out for Chinese food." This promise yielded a friendship that neither of them were prepared for, that changed the trajectory of their lives. Brendan got the job, but their friendship did not just end with Chinese food. They built a friendship of mutual support, spending their birthdays, holidays, and tough times together over a period of 8 years. When Brendan's heater broke down, she made him a blanket. 2 days later, when he told her that he had lost his job, she disappeared, returning minutes later, bringing him groceries, which continued throughout the winter. Even with so little, she never hesitated to give back. Over these years, Jackie, the woman's name, moved from the streets and subway stations into a halfway house, YMCA, and is now moving into an apartment. To celebrate this occasion, Brendan wanted to do something special for Jackie. He helped her to pick out everything she needed for an apartment, starting a registry. Then he set up a campaign to raise the money to pay for the registry, which is now closed, by the way, along with an awesome video telling their story. While their original goal was to raise $500, the campaign went viral and they have raised more than $6,000. And they're now looking to use the extra funding to support other women in need. The story continues, Brendan is not a Christian. And this is not about out-Jesusing each other. It's not even a challenge to only Christians, but to everyone who struggles with the desire to be a stakeholder in their community, yet are overwhelmed by the reality of living out that desire. And writer Frank Fredericks concludes, Brendan reminds me that having a day job does not relieve us of the challenge of loving our neighbors. Similarly, loving our neighbors, whether next door or at our doorstep, does not require a change in profession, just a willingness to speak, to listen, and to give. Kind of humbling. All that said, walk through the crowd. That's the first picture of how to walk right. And, I'm going by that clock, guys, so we got another hour. No, we better hurry. But so the first picture, walk through the crowd. The second picture Jesus draws is this. Walk His way. Walk His way. Read again, Luke 4:30. But He walked right through the crowd and went on what? Underline those words. His way. Underline. Underline. See, a second way to walk right is to walk His way. Jesus' way. Walk His way. How did Jesus walk? Well, Jesus spent time with lepers. Jesus spent time with outcasts. Jesus spent time with the rich, yeah. But He also spent time with the poor. Jesus was unafraid of the crowds. And in the storms of life, anybody go through any storms? Anybody? Yeah. In the storms of life, Jesus remained calm. Jesus had peace. In the storms of life, Jesus had complete composure and rest. I want to be like that. Anybody want to be like that? Then walk His way. Walk His way. You know, Jesus walked with a constant guidance system, kind of like a divine GPS. He did. He had God, the Holy Spirit, always directing His steps. And Jesus had God, the Father, always helping Him in what to say and what to do. So the Bible says. So Jesus, who's God the Son, Jesus always knew how to walk right. Amazing life. I mean, like, I make mistakes every other step of the way, practically. But Jesus always walked right. But you know what may be even more amazing than Jesus walking right all the time? What's more amazing, more miraculous, but absolutely true, is that Jesus invites you and me to have His same life and to walk His way. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it, what? More abundantly. This is one of my favorite verses, maybe one of yours too. But Jesus is offering you this invitation. Who wants abundant life? Anybody? Just raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, you. Okay, you. You don't raise your hand, you don't get any. Okay. Who wants abundant life? Okay, you. Okay, see. Will you accept His invitation? A guy named Nick did. Nick. Yeah. You know, it's hard to find somebody like limbless evangelist Nick Vujicic. If we're only looking at outer attributes, we wouldn't even look at him. After all, Vujicic was born with a rare congenital disorder called focomelia syndrome, which means he has no arms and no legs. How many of you have met Nick Vujicic or seen him? Anybody seen him? Anybody met him? Anybody met him? Nobody? How many of you gave him a hug? My wife and I did. Whew! If you have a chance, man, it's incredible. Give him a big hug for me next time you see him. But growing up, Vujicic was bullied heavily and even contemplated suicide. Why? He doesn't have any arms or legs. It was only after he accepted Jesus Christ into his life that he came to terms with his condition. And he strove to become the best motivational speaker, and he's an evangelist today. He says, "My doctor's parents and Lady Gaga," he writes this, "don't know why I was born this way," he says. But Vujicic says, everybody still has something in common with him. We all have disabilities. Disabilities of the heart. "I was depressed as a child," he shares. "At age 10, I tried to drown myself in the bathtub because I felt I had no hope. I hated God for years. But at age 15, I read a chapter in the Gospel of John. I realized if God had a plan for a blind man, then I believe He has a plan for me." After Vujicic treated his disability of the heart by trusting and loving God, he learned how to appreciate life. And as a Christian, Vujicic learned that the most important thing is his identity in Christ. You know, sometimes you wake up, guys, and then you wake up. I know this because it happened to me. It's still happening to me. You wake up, and there's a big zit on your nose. Say, "I cannot go to school. I don't want to go to work. Why? I get this big zit on my nose. If I didn't go to school or work, every time I had a big zit on my face, I would never go to work. Never go to school." But Vujicic says his identity is in Jesus. Not in how you look, not in how you feel, not in what other people think of you, but what God thinks of you. And He loves you. Today, Vujicic has a ministry organization called Life Without Limbs, whose mission is to reach out to the 7 billion people on earth. That's a pretty big mission statement. "There's a lot of people," said the now 36-year-old native Australian, who is married with 4 children. He says, "When you feel God has called you to change the world, you are glad there are only 7 billion people and not 77 billion. That is funny. "It is a big goal. However," he continues, "when you follow not by sight but by faith, God is with you." Man, I love that guy. Watch this video. Did you fall in love with that guy? That's a man who walks Jesus' way. Did you hear what I said? That's a man who walks his way. And he doesn't even have legs. What's our excuse, guys? What's my excuse? We have no excuse. Let's walk His way. Let's walk through the crowd. Because today, Jesus, without saying a word, has shown us two pictures, which if we follow. You don't need legs to follow this one, guys. You don't need ability or money. But Jesus has shown us two pictures that if you obey, will help you and you and you and you and you. And our church to know how to walk right. Let's pray, guys. Let's pray. Father, we just admit our sins to you, Lord. That we got arms and legs and abilities and money. And we do nothing for you most of the time. But these who have no arms, no legs, and some who have no physical resources are giving you everything. Jesus, help us this day to walk right. To submit our hearts to you, Lord. To bow down before you and say, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Come into my life. Set me free. Help me to do the things that you created me to do. Help me to make a difference in this world that so needs love and hope and salvation. Lord, use me. Use me. Lord, I pray for anybody with that heart that you will raise them up to be a people who know how to walk right. We receive your Holy Spirit and your word to do just that. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.